speaking today with Paula Harris, who is the incumbent HISD trustee and HISD trustee board president, District 4, running for re-election. Paula, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. You were first elected in 2007 and were named board president in 2009, I believe?
No, 2011.
11? All right. Has the experience been what you thought it would be when you first ran?
It really has. It's been a different ride. I've not been in politics before, but I tell you, it was interesting, and I learned so much. And I tell you, it's been exciting to be able to sit in that board at the board table and implement policy and see change. I mean, the results that we've seen in this past 4 years, especially in District 4, are, of course, because of some great, great teachers, excellent, excellent teachers, but definitely that strategic plan, putting an effective teacher in every classroom, putting an effective principal in every school, and holding everyone accountable, do teacher evaluation, and then to be able to see the achievement gap drop to the lowest it's been in years, to see the African-American dropout drop to the lowest it's been in years, to see African-Americans and the entire district, but I look at African-Americans because I primarily have African-Americans in District 4, to see the commended numbers in math and science double, triple. I mean, that kind of stuff has just been really neat to watch. It's kind of like watching a business grow if you had on a business hat, but being able to be a part of educational policy and see results has been, it's been a fun ride.
Okay, well, you've already talked about some of the accomplishments. As you look forward from here, what do you see as being the top priorities for the board and for HISD going forward?
So this year we have to look at literacy. We saw math and science do phenomenal things, but we still have too many kids not reading on grade level. We still have middle school kids not being able to read, and we didn't have a plan to teach reading in middle and high school. So the new literacy initiative that we're bringing forth this year is going to be huge, bringing in new programs, and our teachers are developing the curriculum this time, which that's exciting because we know we have phenomenal teachers. And at the same time, since we're talking about languages, what I don't have in District 4 is a dual language program where you immerse, where you see little kids from lower socioeconomic who are learning Spanish every day, taking their tests and taking their class in Spanish. So it's something that I really wanted for the first 4 years, but kind of after getting in and getting to the weeds, you saw where we just had too many kids not doing well in English. So with the increased results, we're going to look at doing a dual language program in District 4. And the second thing is taking our parent engagement to another level. Charles, one of the things that I wanted to prove over and over is that you were going to be able to see me, touch me, feel me, get to me. So I hold these town hall meetings. One will be held tomorrow night. And I do things like give out $1,000 to the school with the most parents in attendance. Their PTA gets $1,000. And we have PTAs that have gotten $8,000, $10,000 over the process. And that's pretty much bringing parents in to tell them what's going to be on the board agenda, what's happening with the new STAR program. Tomorrow night we'll be talking about Read and Rise Literacy. We talk about after school. We talk about pre-college or college. So we've been doing these consecutively, and consecutively, I've been seeing what parents are very active and putting them on district-wide boards, whether it's the special education board or the gifted and talented or the bond oversight, recommending names for food services. So recommending names to the superintendent and to the district so that District 4 parents, as they become engaged, then they become engaged on a district-wide level. And that's really how you advocate for your children, when you understand what's going on. So we started with the town halls, and now it's time to take parent engagement up to another level also.
Let's talk about reading for a second. I did an interview with your colleague, Juliet Stepech, a while ago, and she pointed out that there isn't really one standardized reading program at HISD. Essentially, it's on a school-by-school basis. There's a whole bunch of different ways of doing it, and we don't have a whole lot of objective data right now that says these methods work well and these methods don't work so well.
That's the new literacy initiative, and that's exactly right, because we have kids that have high mobility rates. So if you're in one part of town using one reading program and one reading style and phonemic awareness and all that stuff, and then things happen, and you move to another apartment, zone to another school, and there's an entirely different way of teaching and engaging children in reading, then that's a big problem. So we do need to have some consistency in some of our curriculum, for sure. We know that we are decentralized and principals can do, can run their own little businesses, their own little schools, but we have to make sure that we're being fair to all the children. So that is why this summer, I think we put $1.75 million into a district-wide built literacy curriculum program. And with that, the new Dr. Alicia Thomas, who is the new chief curriculum officer, will be presenting that tomorrow night at my town hall meeting. And that's exactly, we have to standardize some of this because we want to make sure that all of our children are kind of on the same page at the same time. Not so strict, but definitely using the same types of learning materials and learning methodology so that when you do move from school to school throughout your elementary days, that we are all on the same page as far as literacy.
Now, HISD has put a lot of effort lately into improving the performance at, you know, lower-rated schools. That's what the Apollo 20 program is about, focusing a lot of resources on that. You know, the results have been, you know, mixed but reasonably positive. I guess the first question is, you know, it costs a lot of money. And some people have complained that, you know, it's not the best allocation of resources for HISD, and it couldn't scale up to the rest of the district anyway. How do you feel about that?
So I don't think we need it to scale up to the rest of the district. We just need to catch children who have been left behind and who have fallen behind the cracks. I take, for example, Ryan Middle School. Ryan Middle School has been a school that has had some really, really big challenges for the past 10 years. And to say that, okay, we're going to start a race, and if Ryan just starts out with the same cost per pupil, and we're going to hope that you win it. The district has failed these schools. The communities have failed these schools. And so just to say, we're not doing anything, you know, pie in the sky, we just took the charter school model. It's the Kip and Yes model, the effective teacher, changing the culture, rigorous instruction, effective principal, data-driven results. Those five tenets are completely what's being done across the district, but just more intensive at these schools. And it's the two-on-one tutoring. And it's a pilot program. We've done pilots all over this district. When the state comes in and says, you've got to do something, and we don't have any other options, we did it when I first got on the board at Sam Houston, we put $2 million into one school. And there was no big outcry then. Maybe it should have been, maybe it shouldn't have. But you have to do whatever it takes to turn around a school. The problem is what people don't write on or report on are the things that we're doing for all of the children. The Reasoning Mind programs that have grown for top kids, or the putting where I had schools like Yates and Sterling that had two advanced placement courses. Every school, high school now, has at least 10 advanced placement courses to meet the needs of high-performing children. The graduation labs, where kids can take advance. The increased investment into dual credit for our more advanced children, or children that are ready to take college level. So it's something we do all the time. We meet the children where they are. But to say that, you know, we're just going to leave these kids languishing and failing schools and not try something is not an option. I mean, Teach for America is a program that we brought in. Who would have thought that they got all of the community donations? Charter schools run a lot of their programs based on community donations. So we're growing our community donations. And to say that we shouldn't try because it's not sustainable or $20 million is too much to spend on 13,000 kids, I think that's ridiculous.
All right, let's talk about magnet schools then. There was a report released a few months ago by Magnet Schools of America that recommended some pretty sweeping changes to magnet school programs in HISD, and it, shall we say, drew a lot of feedback from the community that wasn't so positive.
Mm-hmm.
The board has kind of backed away from the recommendations that the Magnet Schools of America made. But, you know, first of all, I mean, I guess, How is it that they can produce a report that's so out of step with what the parents want, and what is HISD going to be doing about magnet schools going forward?
I think that there's still a lot of tweaking to do on magnet schools. One of the things that people need to recognize is this is a third-party report, which we wanted, that tied into an internal report that was done in 1996. Magnet schools are tough because there are schools that get unproportionately more or unproportionately less or have not been performing high enough and there's no consequences. So it has to be looked at. It doesn't have to be sweepingly revamped. We have some excellent magnets working at high levels and we want to keep those. But we don't want to have kids, monies that are wasted. We talked about, that we don't have any results. And we have magnet schools out there that aren't showing any results. We have magnet schools out there getting plenty of funding, and there are no magnet kids there. So those are the type of things we wanted that report to point out. And I think when the board came back, the administration came back with a second plan, we heard loud and clear that this is a better start and that there's still more tweaking to do. This plan was done internally, still based on some of the recommendations, or not the recommendations, but the facts found from the study. So we came up with an internal set of recommendations, and we got better feedback on that one. And we will have to revisit it because we do know that there are some magnets that don't work, and we do know that there are some magnets that don't have magnet children. And we have to make sure that, just as we made sure that the $20 million into Apollo was producing results, we have to make sure that our magnets are producing results, all of them.
And of course, all this is happening in a backdrop against which the legislature has reduced funding to public schools, and that hit HISD pretty hard. For the first year, HISD, actually wound up cutting more than they thought than would turned out to be necessary. That money has been returned for this year. More cuts may be needed next year. How is all of this affecting how HISD does its business? How is it affecting the classrooms?
And that's the thing, Charles. When we, in January, 2 weeks after I became president, I think they said something like, the original was going to be a $600 million cut to the district. Those were the original estimates. And so I spent most of the first two quarters of this year going back and forth to Austin and very appreciative of the parents that went, the community activists that went down. And the cut wasn't as bad, but it still was a bad cut. It wasn't $800 per child cut. You know, every child that walks into a class, into a school, there's a number that the state and your taxes pay to educate those children. But it was closer to a $275 cut, which means there's less for resources and programs and teachers. And we had to work very, very hard to get down to, I think we're only at a, we cut about 200 teachers now, whereas we started at about 700. But we worked doing fairs and hiring them back and looking at who's retired. And I think, the word that came out of Austin is this is the new norm. And so I think the new norm also has to be a very engaged community that spends a lot of time up in Austin letting them know what our children need. Because more cuts will hurt. I mean, we've cut at the administrative level. There probably will be more cuts there. But our goal is to keep as much money as close to the child as possible. And that's why you saw the $85 return to the school. I would have liked to have seen it only for 1 year because we know next year the cuts are going to be even worse. And we're going to have to take this on a year-by-year basis now.
Now, of course, HISD has room to raise its property tax rate. It's not maxed out, and it can raise it, I believe, as many as 4 cents without having to call an election. Do you foresee that as being something the board is likely to consider?
Well, as I've said the whole time, everything is on the table. That vote is coming up this Thursday, and there will not be a recommendation to raise the property tax this year. The process starts again in probably about 2 weeks when we start looking at next year's budget, and we'll have to consider all things, but it will not be raised this year.
How do you assess Superintendent Terry Greer?
So we're getting ready to go through his assessment before the end of this month. In all fairness, I will not let it be out in the media before he hears it from me or see it written down. I will base him based on results, though. It will be based on the ability of our children to read better, to do math better, to be commended in science. That's a big part of what I got on the board saying I wanted to see done. It's a big part of his interview. What I said I wanted to see, I wanted to see increased academic performance. So there'll be a lot of focus on that.
You may have seen the article in Texas Monthly that Mimi Swartz wrote about, you know, basically spending a year with Terry Greer and all the difficulties he's had in trying to get reforms through. You know, HISD is a big bureaucracy. It's got thousands of employees. It's got 200,000 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think the basic thesis there is, you know, it's difficult to impossible to actually reform something that big. Do you agree with that?
I do. You look at Michelle Rhee in Washington, D.C., and Joel Klein in New York, and all the reform-minded superintendents. They have a tough time. That's some heavy lifting to do. I think that you have a lot of stakeholders and a lot of opinions and a lot of people to make happy, but as long as you keep children and your ability to educate children at the highest level possible, every child that walks into a HISD classroom leaves at the end of the year knowing at least 1 year's worth of growth and definitely not knowing less than he knew when he got in there, is a positive.
Are you concerned about the new STAR tests that are going to be implemented?
Yes, I am. The state implemented the new STAR test, and it's going to be much more rigorous. We have to get the word out to communities. It's going to take all hands on deck for the new STAR test because it's a different way of testing. I'm a HISD parent, and I truly believe if in the third grade, my child's supposed to know long division. By the end of the year, I'd like to see her take a test to make sure that she was taught long division. But I think just change is difficult. The change is tough. And so we're kind of trying to get in front of the ball, speaking on the STAR. My last month community town hall meeting was on STAR because I think the whole community needs to know this is a new, different way of doing things. I think they did a parent meeting where they had all the parents take a sample STAR just to show them how tough and the level of rigor this test is at. So we've got some heavy lifting. Fortunately, I think our teachers, they're ready. They can roll up their sleeves and get it done, but it's going to be a tough one.
Well, one of the controversies in the legislature this year was whether or not there would be sufficient funding to provide the materials for the new STAR test. And there was talk about deferring implementing the STAR, but that's gone forward anyway. Does HISD have all the resources that it needs, that the legislature needed to give it?
We are voting on policies. We're going to have to look at putting it in our budget. It is going to be a massive cost to implement this STAR the first year. Well, to implement the STAR period. So it's something that we're going to have to look at. I think, you know, and that was one of the things we went back and forth to Austin explaining, that there will be cost implications. And this is kind of another unfunded mandate, which this is not the first time we've got this from the state legislature, something that they've required us to do without providing funding.
Okay. All right. HISD, as you know, there have been some questions raised about its procurement practices and about its ethics rules, and you have been in the middle of some of that. You know, HISD has done a lot of business with a company, Westco, that is owned by a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And as you have pointed out, there's no rule against that. And a lot of these contracts that you voted on were also voted on and passed unanimously by the board. The question that I have is, as I understand it, you have now said you're going to recuse yourself from any future vote on these contracts. Do you believe that it is fair? Well, let me rephrase that. The perception is that there is something wrong with this, that you're voting on contracts that involve the company run by your friend, may not have been illegal, but some people thought it didn't look right. How do you address that criticism?
Well, fortunately, I'm a native Houstonian. I'm proud to be a native Houstonian. I've lived here all of my life, practically. I've traveled a lot with my company, but I've lived here most of my life. And I know a lot of people. And I'm close to a lot of people. I have a lot of good relationships, being this is my hometown and this is my home community. So I think my job as a board member is to always make sure that the process is transparent, that it's a rigorous bid process where folks bid, where there's a matrix, where the administration looks at, you know, all the points and how they put it together and then make a recommendation to the board. I also feel as though we have to make sure as board members that our children and we're getting the most we can for our investment and our money. And so that's just what I am committed to doing. I'm committed to making sure that we don't have to sit in closed sessions and deal with lawsuits with vendors, you know, that you research. I'm committed to making sure that HISD fulfills its commitment for minority vendors. But I'm committed to it being a transparent process done by the rules and presented to the board for a vote.
I mean, Superintendent Greer has been critical of HISD's procurement process. There is, as I understand it, an audit going on now to assess the process. You know, what's your anticipation? What do you think that's going to say? And what's your own view of what could be done to make the process better?
Well, I just think as long as the process is transparent and fair.
Give me an example of what you mean.
Meaning that people should be able to know why they won, why they lost. If anyone has any questions on a certain vendor, they should be able to know, including board members, on why this one was chosen and how they were ranked. And I think that's what Dr. Greer was talking about earlier, that, you know, some people, you know, he felt as though companies would pop up, and then he changed over his procurement officer to make sure that there was a rhyme and reason and a fair process for winning a bid. I also think that throughout this process, we're also doing some ethics review, we're doing audits, that we may be able to find things that we can look at and change and tighten up. So I think that's good.
And as you say, the board is going to be taking a vote by the time this runs, it will have already happened, on making some changes to the ethics rules that will do things like impose a blackout period.
Like the city does.
Like the city does, mm-hmm. and the state legislature does. I guess my question is, do you think what's being proposed is enough? Do you think there's or too much? Or do you what do you want to see the board do?
So no, this is fine. I think that HISD has some of the toughest ethics policies of any school board in this area. And we definitely, you and I both know that a lot of these smaller districts, that you do business with the district and you're a board member of the district. And of course it doesn't make news because you're a smaller district. But we don't do that in HISD. And they stopped doing it years ago. So we already have disclaimers. We already have public information where we don't do business and we don't profit off of being off of this board. And that's good. And to tighten it up by saying we don't take contributions from vendors during the time when they're bidding on something, that's fine too.
Okay. You're running for re-election. You have been the board's president. What do you want to accomplish in the next 4 years?
So I think I talked about it, but maybe I answered them prematurely. I really want to see the numbers continue to go up. I want to see the achievement gap continue to go down. I want to see the smarter kids get smarter and the ones that can't read learn to read. I believe that more time on task is important. I love Malcolm Gladwell's, if you do anything 10,000 times, you're going to get good at it. There's no such thing as not being good at math. So I want to see academic achievement rise. I definitely know one of the things that prohibits us is the ability for a child to read by the third grade. And that people always say, you count your prison beds by how many kids aren't reading on level at third grade, but you definitely can see your dropouts and you see frustrated children in middle school and high school if they don't have that literacy down. I also am passionate about, because I've traveled extensively and I am monolingual. And so I want kids to be dual dual language or to be able to go to a dual language program in a neighborhood school. I'm very proud of the choices that HISD has, and I'm proud of the fact that over the past 4 years we have the new international school right here in District 4. We have the new girls' school. We have East M Academy. So to make sure that people do have more choices, but I want us to have a dual language immersion school right in District 4, and I think it's time.
HISD's enrollment has been essentially flat over the past few years, despite, you know, growth in the Houston area. Why do you think more people are not sending their kids to HISD schools?
I think the upside of that story is it hasn't gone down. I think that it's choice. I think we just came off of a decent economy, and people are coming back maybe for financial reasons, but there's so many choices and good choices. And so that's why we have to do things like Apollo to compete with the high-performing charters. That's why we have to provide choice. That's why we have to strengthen our magnet programs and make sure that our magnet dollars are providing a return on that investment. So I think it hasn't gone down. As a matter of fact, it's gone up ever so slightly. But still, when I first got on the board, it was $199,000, I think, last year. We haven't had a snapshot for this year. It was up to $204,000. So it's still a slight increase, but that's sure a whole lot better than a decrease.
And do you think HISD is leveraging its relationship with Houston Community College sufficiently to provide, you know, dual credit and vocational opportunities for students?
So I think we have about 5 dual credit high schools, whether it's the South Early College, the North Early College, the International School, East Woodland Challenge, where those kids, some of those kids, a percentage of those kids get their associate's degree the weekend before they get their high school diploma. So every child in those schools taking the dual credit. And then we have our comprehensive high schools where we have HCC classes. And now we're looking at, I know one of the things the superintendent's been investigating or doing research on is career academies, which will shore up, I'll say, our vocational program. And it's time. It's time to do vocational program where there are jobs out there available and apprentice programs with area entities to make sure that we meet the need of every child. So I think we've grown our dual credit. We're going to grow vocational. We have to grow our IB. We have to grow our IAP. Has already, we have some more kids taking advanced placement than any other time in the district to make sure that we, you know, are the educational entity of choice by having more choices.
And when people go to vote, why should they vote to give you that second 4-year term?
Oh, it's always based on results. We've done an excellent job in engaging our parents in District 4, and that was going to be a tough one. But having 200, 400, 600 folks show up at a town hall meeting to learn what's happening at the district, to better advocate for their children, the programs that I sit on the board for Space Center Houston, and NASA comes and picks up kids in my school, in District 4 schools all the time now for programs. I work with the Houston Museum of Natural Science. I've defended during cuts Baylor College of Medicine science teacher preparation program. So I have a very close relationship with the parents, with the communities, making sure that our teachers are supported, making sure that I went to Austin to fight for them to give as much as we possibly could so we wouldn't take the cuts that they initially announced, and making sure that and all of us working together for the same cause, and that's increased student achievement. And when you look at the past 4 years and the amount of children passing the tax in District 4, the amount of the children getting commended, mastering the tax in the past 4 years, taking the SAT, taking the the AP courses and dual credit, along with the choices, it's all grown. So you want to just look at results. Also, I'm a native Houstonian. I'm from this area. I'm not going anywhere. I've been here my whole life. I have a vested interest that is very dear to my heart, which is my own daughter, and along with the other children in District 4. But I am kind of hooked in to District 4, and I will be pleased to serve for another 4 years.
Okay, Paula Harris, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles.